This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. This show is dedicated to bringing you the most useful information available today to help you achieve all your love, sex, intimacy, romance, and relationship goals. On the show today, I'm happy to welcome Charlotte Castle, PhD, author of the highly acclaimed book, If the Buddha Dated, Finding Love on a Spiritual Path. On today's show, we'll delve into some juicy topics from the book, such as breaking down the longing for an intimate relationship, fused or free, understanding the path to intimacy, freeing your heart, making peace with our parents, and what to do when you want to run. I think it's very strong for both. It looks different in that women want relationship, but actually men suffer more without it. If you look at the data after a divorce, women generally do better than men because women can connect with other women, have their feelings, have a circle of support, cry on somebody's shoulder. So in terms of surviving without them, women do really much better. But I think there's almost a merger of energy that happens in a monogamous relationship. I think it's such an intimacy. It's almost like our neurons are interacting, and we create an alchemy and a chemistry between us that is very wonderful and rich. Okay, it's like I see that other person and they're doing what they do, and I check in with my feelings. How do I feel about that? What am I like around them? And is there a fit and a flow? That's what you really want to check for. It's not a trophy partner. It's this feeling of a flow, and it's easy and it's fun. And there may be things to talk about, but there's a joy that goes on. Again, there's that line to walk, because some of this may be being triggered by our partner. But if I keep getting scared, or jealous is a big one, because a good relationship will want the friend to go out, the partner to go out and be their biggest self and have other friends. And if we start wanting to keep them to ourselves and hold on to them, well, let's look at developmentally how old that is. That's a little tiny kid, you know, they're wanting mommy to be there all the time. And often we get sort of to the terrible twos, and what's, quote, terrible about them is that we really find out mommy has other people in her life, and we're not the center of the world, and we have to move through some of that narcissism that we thought we were the center of everything. Welcome, Charlotte, to Just for Women.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. Listeners, let me tell you a few things about Charlotte Castle. She is a licensed professional clinical counselor. She's a certified addiction specialist, Reiki master healer, consultant, and teacher. She's the author of many books, including If the Buddha Married, Finding Joy, Many Roads, One Journey, Moving Beyond the 12 Steps, and the classic Women, Sex, and Addiction, A Search for Love and Power. She also designed a 16-step empowerment program that is transforming lives across the globe. And I just want to say personally that when I read If the Buddha Dated, it's been my little guide. It is so chock full of amazing content and exercises that you can use to really assess where you are in your life about relationship and getting into one. So, Charlotte, I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Great. Well, I'm excited to talk to you.
Yay. So let's start out with this longing for an intimate relationship. You know, you really nailed it in the book. And why do we long so much to be in a relationship?
Well, we want to be connected. I think the deepest longing we have is to feel connection, to feel safe and secure, attached in a good way to other people, so that we know we can be understood, we can be seen, that someone, as they say, gets us. You know, it's an incredible thing to be understood and feel someone looks you in the eyes, and no matter what you do, even if you really goof up, they're going to be there for you because they love you. They feel it, and you feel it. It's an amazing sense of safety internally when you feel loved.
So do you think that is a desire that's more hardwired into women because we're the connectors and nurturers, and for men it's different?
I think it's very strong for both. It looks different in that women want relationship, but actually men suffer more without it. If you look at the data after a divorce, women generally do better than men because women can connect with other women, have their feelings, have a circle of support, cry on somebody's shoulder. So in terms of surviving without them, women do really much better without that primary intimate relationship. But it's different. But I've seen men just as deeply in love as a woman. But women, certainly their role has been to connect and talk, and women do more of that generally.
Right. Okay. So looking at getting into an intimate relationship, do you think we as a whole really understand what intimate relationships are all about and the design of them?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and that's where I think the Buddhism comes in. Because a wonderful relationship really has to be that we feel secure inside ourselves and can open ourselves to another person. It's not someone to give a status, to fill our security needs. At the same time, those things can happen, and that's not bad. So I think very often, though, we want someone because we feel desperate, or we feel, I've got to be married, or, you know, I don't like being alone. And on the other hand, to be pair-bonded is the deepest kind of human natural longing we have. But it's certainly, you know, I remember in high school, you know, you'd list what you want in a person and, you know, they're a cool dancer and all these things. And it was like, that's kind of an image. But what we really want to long for is connection and to know who we are. Because we can do a lot to know who we are individually, but we really learn about who we are in relationship.
Right. Okay, so I live in a very progressive part of the country here in San Francisco. And, you know, there's a lot of people doing something other than pair bonding. And it's pretty kind of common. But you're saying that being bonded in a relationship with just one other person is really our deepest longing? Because I know people who would poo-poo that. What do you have to say?
Well, I wouldn't say, let's see, to be with one person. I think it's the essence of deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we have deep connection with people because we go deep ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think when people can't go deep inside themselves and can't feel a connection that goes deep, then they want many connections and a lot of novelty and a lot of change. But the people I interview who have very deep connections, they're so happy being with this one person. They're content. It feels rich and full to them. And, of course, people vary a lot. But I've seen, you know, I was around for the 60s and 70s, and there were, of course, a lot of drugs going on with all those multiple sexual partners and so forth. But I think there's almost a merger of energy that happens in a monogamous relationship. I think it's such an intimacy, it's almost like our neurons are interacting, and we create an alchemy and a chemistry between us that is very wonderful and rich. That kind of feeling you just are happy to see that person walk in the house. And that never goes away when people have these deep attachments and connections.
Let's go deeper into what you just said about intimacy. In your book, you talk a lot about that, and you talk about knowing the difference between if you're fusing with someone or not, because that can have a tendency to allow us to lose ourselves. So there we are, we're in an intimate relationship. How do we not lose ourselves, and what is this fusion?
Fusion comes from fear. Fusion is, I need you to like me. It matters to me. My self-esteem is based on you liking me. So I'm going to act charming. I'm going to tell you what I think you want to hear. I'm going to dress the way you want to see me. And I lose myself. And that's where we're going off the spiritual path. The term differentiation is often misunderstood to mean that kind of rugged individual thing. But it's not that. It's that I can look at another person and know they're just doing what they're conditioned to do. Whatever they say or do is about them. And I don't interpret it. I may like it or not like it, but let's say if someone's late, do I say they don't care about me? No, I don't interpret it. I just say they're late. And I ask them, what does that mean? But when we're fused, we attribute lots of meaning to what people do. We interpret it like, you're controlling me, or that means you don't care, or if you loved me, you would, you know, bring me flowers today. And the truth is, we don't know what other people would do if they loved us. They may have different ways of expressing it. But what we can look at is, how does this feel to me? You know, when this person doesn't show up or is late, do we say they don't care and try to pressure them to be on time? No. We can say, you know, I don't find it comfortable when you're late or when you don't call. And then if they keep doing it, well, that's what is. And we have to accept that's the way that person is. Now, can I really accept that in good faith and relax around it? Or is it something I don't want to be with? It's kind of like we're gathering information when we date someone instead of jumping in to try to change them, you know? So many times people get together with hopes to change the person, or because they have potential. It's not a good basis for a relationship. The dating, when people meet someone that's a real match for them, is very much drenched in sunlight. It's usually a wonderful experience. When I've interviewed people later on, it felt good. And there weren't a lot of dark shadows around it, or worries, or that stomach ache, or inability to sleep. Generally, people felt quite happy.
Mm. So it's almost as though we can really check in with our body to find out, is this really something I can trust, versus going to our mind?
Well, partly. We need our mind, too, because when we fall in love, we are so hardwired to bond that we get an amphetamine high from all the chemicals we secrete. That's that in-love feeling, and we can mistake that for love. So we need our mind, too, especially if we've had a string of difficult relationships. For instance, some people will make a bottom-line list and say, okay, I'm not going to get involved with someone who's a using addict. I'm not going to get involved with someone who hasn't dealt with childhood abuse because I've been there and it hasn't worked. I don't want to do that again. So we use our mind and our body. Because the other thing we need is real attraction. And it's attraction to the whole person, and it's also sexual. And my teacher that I went to for a long time, Stephen Walensky, said, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is you can't keep your hands off each other, and 5 is take it or leave it, and 0 is forget it, you want to have an 8, 9, or 10. You want to have that spark, because that's the spark that lasts a lifetime for many people. And that's a different spark than just getting high, and now I've met the one who is going to take care of every dream, and life will be fabulous, and everything's taken care of. You know? Yeah, exactly. And, you know, from other people that I've interviewed, you know, there's this, yeah, you have to wait after you've met someone because it's important for us to understand what's happening in our bodies and the chemical floods that are skewing our ability to be rational thinkers and, yeah, at the same time, check in with our bodies. So it's a wonder people even, you know, why there's so much suffering around dating, because there's all this stuff going on. And then there's, okay, how do I not lose myself in this thing? I don't want to fuse him and come from this fear-based place. So talk to me a little bit about differentiation. You know, when understanding intimacy, there's fusing, fear-based, putting a lot of meaning, but then there's a flip side to that. Tell me about that, the more healthy way to approach intimacy.
Okay, it's like I see that other person and they're doing what they do. And I check in with my feelings. How do I feel about that? What am I like around them? And is there a fit and a flow? That's what you really want to check for. It's not a trophy partner. It's this feeling of a flow, and it's easy and it's fun. And there may be things to talk about, but there's a joy that goes on. So again, differentiation is when we can really see that other person is just who they are. And we want to like that person the way they are. And you hear people making a lot of rationalizations because they so desperately want a partner. It's like, well, you can't have everything. And, you know, they're pretty good. It's, at least they don't hit me, or it's better than the last one. But the people who have these vibrant long-term relationships really enjoy, adore, light up when they see that other person. So that is part of taking time. And the fusion is so much fear. But I want to add another piece to this, is people think differentiation means you don't have need. And actually, we can own our needs. I can say when I'm hurt, I'm sad, I need comfort. That's part of differentiation because it's honesty. We do have needs. And I think we've been taught a lot that you shouldn't be so needy. And from where I come from, need is fine. We need to express it and get it fulfilled in healthy ways. You know, we do need people. And if we really look to ourselves, you know, when we ache and hurt, but there's nothing like the arms of another person. And when we can't turn to another person, we withdraw, we tighten up, we go away. And a huge part of relationship that's wonderful is if we can learn when we're in need to reach out that hand for help. And indeed, that's one of the great markers of people overcoming trauma, is that they can give and receive help when they feel scared, in need. They don't withdraw. So differentiation is kind of like an open mind, an open heart, and we can engage deeply because we know we can also say, no, I need to go now.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Great. Perfect. I love that. And being vulnerable. Okay, so we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. This is Alisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm with Charlotte Castle, author of If the Buddha Dated. And we will be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Erotic Poetry Reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back. I'm Alisa, your host of Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. We're speaking with Charlotte Castle about why we have such a deep desire to be in relationship, understanding intimacy, knowing the difference between if we're entering a relationship out of fear or if we're entering a relationship out of love and acceptance and an open mind and heart. Now we're going to talk about making peace with our parents and how that can help us have extraordinary intimate relationships. So Charlotte, talk to me a little bit about why healing, making peace with our parents, is so important.
Well, I think it's making peace with the parent who lives inside our head. You know, we may not be able to make peace with the parents out there, but let's say I was yelled at a lot or hit a lot as a child. So when someone raises their voice, I'm going to flinch. I'm going to pull away. And even if they only raise it on a scale of 1 to 10 to about a 2, I may have this hard wiring go off that says danger, and that may make me want to run away. So I need to go in and have help with all those triggers from childhood, those places where I get scared, those places where I want to withdraw, and look at them and process them. So I separate out, this new person is not my mother. And one of the things I hear from men a lot in couple counseling is like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Now, that's a kid statement, right? That's not an adult, because if this is your beloved and your partner, you're not in trouble. There may be difficulty you need to talk over. But when you feel those adolescent or even younger kind of thoughts come up, that means there's unfinished business. So we can listen for those. It's like panic about someone leaving us. Now, it may be we've partnered with someone who is ambivalent and doesn't stay in, but if that panic about being left pervades all our relationships, then we need to look back to our childhood and that we were left a lot. And that panic is very physiological when it goes off. And it feels very real. And, of course, when someone gets angry at someone and terrified they're going to leave, that's usually a little kid part of us. Mommy, don't leave me. Don't leave me. I'll feel alone. I'll fall into the abyss. And that's how people experience it so often when a partner wants to be separate or to leave. And so that oneness and separateness is a developmental thing. So the more we can feel our separate self, the more we can allow our partner to go off and do what they do, not get jealous, not go into those little baby states or little kid states.
That is so important. You're saying really important things here. One is noticing our reactions and triggers such that we actually have the ability to own them. So you're asking, or, you know, telling us, being responsible for noticing those triggers when they're going off and not projecting onto the other person how they are based on our own confusion in our mind, yeah?
Absolutely. It's the ability to finally say, uh-oh, I'm triggered. I'm feeling really little. I don't want to talk about that right now because, you know, four-year-olds aren't very good at processing things. And it's just saying, uh-oh, I'm getting scared. Let me just take a minute. Or can you give me a hug? You know, I'm feeling scared. And it's about me. Now, again, there's that line to walk because some of this may be being triggered by our partner. But if I keep getting scared, or jealous is a big one, because a good relationship will want the friend to go out, the partner to go out and be their biggest self and have other friends. And if we start wanting to keep them to ourselves and hold on to them, well, let's look at developmentally how old that is. That's a little tiny kid, you know, they're wanting mommy to be there all the time, and often we get sort of to the terrible twos, and what's, quote, terrible about them is that we really find out mommy has other people in her life, and we're not the center of the world, and we have to move through some of that narcissism that we thought we were the center of everything, and all of a sudden we find out we're not, and it's very upsetting. Well, some people are still getting upset over that, you know, at 40 or 30 or 50 or whenever. They think they should be the center of someone's world. And again, that's sort of tying in the differentiation. Differentiation is that we've learned that we're not. But we have a lot of great trade-offs, which is we get to have a wonderful circle of friends and relationships and interests and passions.
Yeah, I love that. I love what you said about the oneness of being in the relationship with the person, and then also having a healthy boundary and balance of being separate from that person. So what are some of the ways, say we're triggered in the moment, say we are having a jealous fit, you know, he said X, I'm busy on Saturday, you know, I'm busy the whole weekend. And, you know, we're dating and we're trying to figure out what that means, and So what are some things we can do so we don't get lost in that mind spin of, oh, maybe he's seeing other people, maybe I'm not that important, la la la. Is there something that you suggest to your clients to control or help allay the mind from getting out of control? Because mostly men just say X, right? They don't lie. They're like, I'm busy. For whatever reason, it doesn't really necessarily mean anything about us.
It may or it may not. You don't really know. But what you know is they're not available this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back to being kind of an observer. It's like, well, okay, that's what they're doing. Now, again, a skillful person will explain, you know, it doesn't mean I don't care about you. I really have this prayer commitment I need to do, and, you know, I'll see you Monday. That would be a much more skillful way to tell someone you're not available for the weekend, because you would want to put their mind at rest.
Right.
So it's kind of a dance you do together. But if someone says, yeah, I'm busy for the weekend, I can't see you, you know, that's usually going to trigger someone into, ooh, what does that mean? And it's okay to ask, what's that about? Now, if they say, oh, nothing, I got things to do, okay, well, then you want to hear that. And notice that it feels not good inside, and say, okay, I'm gathering data on this person. So they just cut off and take off for the weekend, and they don't seem that interested. So you see what follows. Or then you find out, if you have a conversation, if they can kind of rise to talking. So you say, okay, well, is there something wrong, or can you tell me what that's about? And if they can rise up and say, yeah, it's about this prior engagement I had, and it doesn't mean I don't care about you, because I really do, sweetheart, and I'd love to make a date to see you next week. That's a lot different than just saying, well, you know, I need some space, and don't be so pushy.
Right.
That's usually the person getting really scared. So you need to see it. You know, I hike a lot around here in Montana, so I tell people, you know, it's like when you see a grizzly bear, you see a grizzly bear and you do what's safe thing to do around that. You don't go up and have a conversation with it, you know? So if someone's doing a behavior that's scary, well, watch it, but take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get into that place where you're just dying to call, you can hardly keep your hand away from the phone and you're freaking out, all right, that's a place where you can do some growing. You're in a child state. You're really down in a little place. And that's where it's great if you can, there's an emotional freedom technique you can learn to do yourself, or go talk to a friend, or just go through the weekend and say, yeah, the reality is that person isn't here for me, and I'm freaking out. So keep talking to yourself. Go be with friends. And remember, you're gathering information.
I love that. I love that you said emotional freedom technique, because I interviewed a woman about emotional freedom techniques, because that is one of the amazing techniques I've learned for exactly what you just said. And so, ladies, go back and listen to Kate Winch on EFT. It's an amazing piece to help us as we are dating to understand men and understand ourselves, that, you know, yeah, we might get a little freaked out, and there are things that we can do in the moment to help calm down, get clear, get back into a centered place, and have, I call it the healthy probe out of what you said. Like, we can have a healthy probe into something someone has said instead of getting lost in our trigger about it.
Right, because when we get lost in the trigger, we go, well, see, you don't care about me, and we get into that attack mode, and then they are really going to stay away for a long time. But, you know, I want to say another thing about this is that, yeah, the emotional freedom technique, I'm really glad you're recommending that, because you can take like an 8 anxiety level on a 0 to 10 and often get it down to at least a 3 or 4, which is more manageable, you know, in maybe 15 minutes. So that's a wonderful thing to have. But I want to say the other thing. When I've been in relationship with someone who really wanted to be with me, I didn't have any anxiety at all. Because I could feel in my body, in my heart, that person was there. They let me know in so many ways. I mean, I feel now in my life so loved, so cared for. It doesn't ever cross my mind, you know, that anything could happen except that I'm going to be cherished and talked about, talked to wonderfully and loved, and that we can talk things over. And, you know, and earlier on I had a relationship like that also. And there was just no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. I think, and tell me if you agree or not, that comes from a deep, deep love of self. Because
well,
you wouldn't tolerate anything less.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily, because, you know, that longing is also what takes us into trouble sometimes. Because having had several relationships in my life, we start messing with our minds and we start making rationalizations and excuses for the other person, and that's a thing of fusion also. We're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. We're making all kinds of reasons to excuse someone's behavior when the truth is we need to have our feelings about it. I didn't like that. It didn't feel comfortable. I feel scared. My gut is telling me this isn't going to work or that they're not really here, and really listen to that. And I've gone enough off in my own head, you know, with someone because they were fun, they were delightful. They seemed to want to be there, but something in my gut was getting nervous, and I couldn't get words for it, and they didn't give me words for it. But my concentration got worse. You know, my life got a little off-center. And that's a big sign to us when we're starting to get off-center and starting to not sleep and not eat and get very nervous inside and it doesn't feel right. Usually something's going on under the surface that we're not paying attention to.
Yeah, because we're such sensate beings. You know, we are energy. We're made of energy. And I think we forget that sometimes, that we can actually feel that. And to trust and honor that is such an important part of dating and relationship.
Absolutely. So to really, yeah, tune into your body. Are you getting gut aches? Are you, you know, are you having all kinds of physical problems and headaches and getting so anxious and nervous? You know, it's one thing to get a little, you know, turned on and excited and this is wonderful and there's a joy to it. But it's another thing to turn into a nervous wreck, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to pay attention to that. Because if someone's really there, generally you'll feel a kind of security. Now, you may feel old feelings from the past, but it will be something that then you can start working to heal. And if I can say that about relationships, you know, there's so kind of the folklore is that you have to be whole to have a relationship. Well, we learn to know ourselves in relationship.
Yeah.
And actually we heal in relationship when we get a caring partner.
Yeah.
I've seen it very often. You know, we find that people who don't have good sexual lives often had abuse. But I've interviewed couples that have a good sexual life who had abuse in the background because they were so healing for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they created the safety that was needed to be able to relax inside and trust someone. Because trust is that very, very deep issue that when we've had trauma or loss or grief, it's hard to trust. And that's where we use our head. You know, I suggest in this book, people make a bottom line. You know, okay, if someone stands me up and I call them up about it and they get mad or blame me or make excuses, that's cross the bottom line, off the list. Just forget it.
Yep.
Another one is blamers. People who blame basically want the world to change for them. The prognosis for any sort of change or intimacy is pretty much zip. So someone who's always saying, well, it's about the weather, it was about my mother, it was about this, as opposed to, you know, I was late, I'm really sorry, I blew it, and I apologize for hurting you. Now, that's an appropriate answer. And the ones who are talking about a past partner really with anger and hostility and negativity, be careful and listen to yourself if you're doing that. You're needing to get that sorted out and cleared out so you're not carrying that into another relationship.
Man, I should have talked to you last year.
Well, I had to talk to myself a few years ago about all this.
Charlotte, I could talk to you all day, but we have to go. How can we find you?
Okay, I have a website. It's in need of repair, but anyhow, it's there. It's Charlotte Castle, spelled K-A, S as in Sally, L as in love, .com. And it lists all my books and has the empowerment model and some of the workshops I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
and talks and so forth.
Great. So charlottekassel.com is where you can find Charlotte, her work, her workshops, where she's going to be, her books. Definitely, ladies, if you're out there dating, If the Buddha Dated can be such an important resource and guide for you on your path. So, listeners, I also want you to know that you can email me at Alissa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at personallifemedia.com. Give me your comments of the show, ask questions, offer ideas. I'm here for you. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Also, for text and transcripts of the show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And also, if you want to get my book, Living Your Dreams, just go to thedreamer.typepad.com, and you'll find that. So, Charlotte, thank you so much for your wisdom and being with us today. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for me, too.
Yeah, I definitely want to have you back so we can talk about If the Buddha Married, because,
right,
like I said, I could talk to you for hours today, and so maybe we can go a little bit deeper in that interview as well.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to do that.
Great. So, listeners, thank you for listening. Again, I'm your host, Alissa Kreitman, always expanding your awareness and choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use in the little moments of time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.